The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of September 2024. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. We're still here after all these years. And here are tonight our faithful producer is none other, the guy with a smile. His name is Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style. And tonight, my special guest here is Bill Dornback. And Bill is the proprietor of Newberry Printing. And we've talked about him before. He's here to tell us what it's like being in the DM, 6 inches away from the Communist Party headquarters in Geauga County. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're just on the other side of the wall of the Communist Party.
Sometimes I hear them.
Yeah.
They hear me, too.
Yeah, well, I know they do. And we're going to talk about that a little later, but right now we're going to get into the Word of God. The title of the message was Having Knowledge of the Un Crowd. And a lot of things, words in the Bible start with un. For example, the unawares, unbelievers, unclean, unfaithful, ungodly, unholy. Those are the bad uns, but they're good uns too. The good uns is unfeigned, unmovable, and unspeakable. Those are the good uns, and we're going to pick it up where we left off tonight here with ungodly, with the ungodly. And that is in Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appointed to all men. You know, when he says that had appeared to all men, the grace of God which bringeth salvation, do you know which ways how it has appeared to all men? Okay. All of creation shouts out. You see, you cannot possibly have a creation without a creator. And all of creation is evidence that there's a creator out there. Okay. And so this is where literally all creation shouts, bearing witness of the Creator. Remember when Jesus said, he said that these stones can shout out, okay? And so he goes on to say, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So when he's talking about denying ungodliness, today ungodliness, we are talking about things like the woke crowd. The woke crowd is ungodly. Okay, things like the bars, the booze, and the old saying, the bars, the booze, and the broads, rock concerts, reprobate TV programs like The View, and all of the, well, the entire Democratic Communist Party platform. I mean, it's a platform of sin. Whatever they call sin, they embrace, whether it's pedophilia, whether it's abortion, killing children, sodomy. If it's a sin, the Democratic Communist Party embrace it. Today, he goes on to say, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's referring to the deity of the Lord Jesus. Why do you think he would call him the great God? The great God. We just talked about creation. Christ was the creator. A lot of people don't realize that. But within Scripture, you got a pecking order, if you will. In the military, we called it the chain of command. But God the Father always gives the marching orders. God the Son always carries them out. And the Holy Ghost always provides the power. You see that from Genesis to Revelation. When God the Father said, "Let there be light," and then God the Son provided the light. He was the creator. Was God the creator. And then he says this, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now, there's something in this verse here that if you ask most people about let's ask Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
What did Christ's substitutionary death on Calvary, what did that mean to you?
I mean, that means everything.
Okay. Well, okay, so that means he's giving you the get-out-of-hell-free card, huh?
Essentially.
But you know what? Most people, when you ask them about this verse, who gave himself for us and that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It's not really referring to what he did for us. It's what he did for himself. What he did for himself. And no one really ever talks about that. Let me read it again. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from the iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And you're one of those peculiar persons, aren't you?
That's what they say.
Yeah, okay. All right. You want to hope to be one of those peculiar people. All right, very good. Let's go to, let's take a look at the unholy. Oh, boy. Is this going to be about Tampon Tim? I don't know. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We read this, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and for manslayers." So now, the purpose of the law was to show man just how far he was from being able to obtain his own salvation. So we're saved by grace and not by works. Now, who do you think it would have been eligible to provide the substitutionary death? Because God the Father demanded a perfectly holy, a perfectly innocent, sinless sacrifice. It had to be someone who was not born in sin. In other words, it had to be someone who did not have a human father, okay? And so here, so the law was provided to show them what it would take for them to, they would have to fulfill that law to obtain salvation apart from God. Who has ever been able to fulfill the law, the letter of the law? No, Christ was the only one. Christ fulfilled the law. No one else was able to ever fulfill the law, the letter of the law. We are under the spirit of the law right now. And so he says, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The law was made for these, for lawless people, and for whoremongers. And do you know what? What a whoremonger was referred to today, what we call them, pimps. They're called pimps. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, those are called sodomites, or LGBTQ today, okay? For men stealers today, what do we call men stealers? They're human traffickers, okay? What they call human traffickers. For for liars, well, now we, boy, that covers a lot of territory. We got NBC, ABC, CBS. We got the Congress, the politicians out there. Oh, boy, do we have the Justice Department and all those 1,900, or 19, what is it, 1,000 lawyers they got now? And so for perjured persons, right here, this guy, Merrick Garland, I've seen him lie under oath to Congress time and time and time again, okay? But he's not going to prosecute himself, is he? That's the problem. And be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so, here, when he says that, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In other words, Paul was saying he was called of God to preach the gospel. And those little notes you see me tear off, those little commentary notes that I write to myself. And then we want to go, now we're going to take a look at the good uns. And we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. And if you have any questions, Style, just go ahead and ask. Starting with verses 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Do you know what that word unfeigned means?
I don't, no.
Maybe, let's see if Style does. Hey, Style. Do you know what that word unfeigned means?
Is it unchanging?
No, it means without hypocrisy, without hypocrisy. And then he goes, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor. Okay. Here he's giving you a list of opposites here. When he says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and a good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So he tells you over in Thessalonians that we need to be able to continue in the Lord's work, whether we as we abound or as if we are without anything. And so here, under all these conditions, we are to continue in the Lord's work. And then I might finish this up tonight, the end of this message, if I get close to it. And here, I wanted to go over to 1 Corinthians 15. No, you know, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 9 first, I think, and read verses 8 through 15. And here we're talking about being unmovable. We're talking about being the unspeakable gift, the unspeakable gift. And God is able to make all grace bound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed for the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving of God for the administration of the service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and all men, and for their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gifts. And so here, you know, these words, what we just read, praise and thanksgiving, occur over five, each one of those words occur over 500 times in the Bible. And when he's talking about the unspeakable gift, what do you think that means when it's the unspeakable, unspeakable gift? It means that God's gift to us is beyond our ability to, we can't really humanly describe it, okay? And that's that is the worth and the value of eternal life. Huh. And so that's what he's talking about, that unspeakable gift. And now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, too. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you know what that mystery is? Now think about this. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's talking about how when the rapture of the church takes place, God comes back. Now, we come back with the Lord from heaven. Our spirits and our soul come back. And we come back to the first sky, okay? It's called the first heaven, which we call the sky out here, where the birds fly. And then God takes and he regenerates our atoms that have been laying dormant in the ground, in the dust, and he brings them back to life. He reassembles our atoms, and then he takes our spirit and our soul and puts it back in a glorified body. So we have now this new glorified body that can never die. It'll be beyond death, okay? And this glorified body can't feel pain, can't feel hunger. It's going to be... and it can't die. And so here, that is what he's referring to, the mystery. It's a mystery. How could that possibly be done? How could something like that possibly happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet should, now it's the last trump of the first trumpet, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That means there will be no corruption in us. We will have a perfectly sinless body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. Okay, why do you think the strength of sin is in the law? Okay, well, think about this for a minute. Here, was there something wrong with the law? The law was perfect. The law was perfect. And because the law was perfect, and because we're not, because we have a sin that dwelt within us, okay? The only thing the law could do for us is condemn us. That's all it could do for us is condemn us. And so that's where the strength of the law was in condemning sin. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast. Now, this is a very powerful verse here, right here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, he tells you in Revelation 14:14 that your works will follow you to heaven, that your works will follow you to heaven. And, you know, if you could just get people to really understand these things, and, you know, I know that, you know, I've been preaching all this stuff for so many years, and you can tell with some it registered, but with so many people, it's just not registering. If they really understood what is being said there, they would be more zealous. They would be doers of the word, not just hearers. And that's what it says, deceiving your own self. Because what you're doing, God has given us but a little bit of time in this world to place up crowns in heaven. And when you go in, you know, it's like you don't want to go into heaven as a private E1 for eternity. You're going in, and so you want to place up many crowns because we'll appear at that Bema seat. And that's where we get our rewards. You know, and you'll have a status in heaven, okay? And I want to be able to order you guys around. think about that, right? Okay. And so, what do you think, Style?
And whatever you say.
All right. Okay. Whatever I say, let's go to a break.
Song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration.
see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
All right. I hope it's not too late to get a grip on immigration. It's way, way, way past due, but... We have three prayer requests here that we really need to get to tonight. We have Janine, who just had a surgery. She had this huge, huge tumor removed, but it's the size of folks, it was like the size of a cantaloupe. It was huge. And then we have Darlene, who's got a very, very bad case of the flu, asking for prayer. And then Pastor Dave Littell is in the hospital, and tomorrow morning he has open-heart surgery tomorrow. So let's just hold all three of them up in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to remember Janine first, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you intervene. She was supposed to have been out of there, and then she had a relapse. Things did not work right, and there were many, many complications. So we just want to hold her up to you and ask, Father God, that you would intervene on her behalf, Lord, and also Darlene, who is very, very ill, Lord. And, of course, Lord, you're the one that knows. You're the one that knows whether or not these folks are saved. And so many, many people think they're saved when they're not. But, Lord, if not, salvation first. We would pray for their salvation first, Lord. And then they might touch them for a healing. And then Pastor Dave, we know he's saved, Lord, and that you would be with him tomorrow as he goes through surgery. You would guide the surgeon's hands, Lord, and that all three of them, Lord, that they might be touched, they might be healed. And, Lord, we ask that you turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Here's a guy that really needs to repent and get saved, and that fellow is none other than our attorney general. Oh, yes, he's did it again, Merrick Garland. The corrupt DOJ has charged just 35 illegal aliens with voting over the past two decades. Here's a guy that just came out again and said they show no bias. They are completely neutral where it comes to the Republican Party and the Communist Party, and where it comes to Donald Trump. What a lie, this guy, what a lie he is telling. He has sworn vengeance against Donald Trump because he was not appointed to the Supreme Court, and that Justice Department is completely corrupt. And I have watched Merrick Garland sit there under oath and perjure himself, and yet he will not repent of that. And Merrick Garland up there, if you're listening, Jesus said, Merrick, he said, repent or perish. I urge you to repent, and I urge you to quit doing what you're doing. You've declared war on pro-lifers. You're a wicked man. You've declared you put pro-lifers in prison for being pro-life, Merrick. You declared war on the J6ers. You're evil. You're wicked. These are Christian patriots, Merrick. God's word, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Merrick Garland, you need to repent. Merrick, you need to repent. And so he goes on. The Department of Justice has, this is an article too out of the Gateway Pundit, prosecuted just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of illegal aliens who are guilty of trying to cast votes in elections over the past two decades, according to the federal data. The figures obtained from the Bureau of Justice Statistics found that between the years 2001 and 2021, there were just 35 prosecutions of illegal immigrants trying to join the electoral process. The Federalists were the first to report on the figures. He goes on to say, according to the suspiciously low number of prosecutions contrast with thousands and thousands and thousands of aliens have been registered to vote in recent years, and at least hundreds being flagged to the Justice Department as having actually cast ballots. This calls into question the political motivations of those responsible for upholding federal election laws. I spent 4 years at the Justice Department as a career lawyer, and I can tell you that the career ranks of the Justice Department are filled with left-wing ideologies, and they just have no interest. They have no interest in going after illegal aliens to persecute them, to prosecute them. Hans von Spakovsky, manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation, told the Federalist in the Review. Now, here, we have seen, in fact, we have articles there, the corruption is just unbelievable. In fact, here, you've got an article here on the election, Black Fork, the Black Fork strategies, caught submitting falsified voter regulations. But we're going to go switch from this. You got an article there, Bill. Bill's, this is his first night as a he's my co-worker with me tonight, so go ahead.
Yes, this is an article with quite a headline here. It says, it's a gust post from Joe Hoft at joehoft.com and republished with permission at the gatewaypundit.com. In quotes, "I feel like a Negro out of line," end quote. Bevelyn Williams gets 40 months in prison for protesting outside an abortion clinic. For protesting outside an abortion
clinic. Thank you, Merrick Garland.
In June 2020, a video went viral of a black conservative, Bevelyn Williams, absolutely destroying a woke white liberal in the streets of Seattle on Biden versus Trump. "If I had to pick between him and Joe Biden, I am not voting in Joe Biden. You want to see black people go to jail by the next 4 years? Vote for Joe Biden," the black woman said. The black woman continued to school the woke white liberal on the history of the racist Democratic Party. "The Democrats hate black people. These are the same people who fought to keep slavery in. They are the same people who built the KKK," she said. The white liberal just stood there in silence, and the black woman continued, "The Republican Party is the party of blacks."
Abraham Lincoln freed the blacks. He was a Republican.
During the woman, Bevelyn Williams, later joined Laura Ingraham on the Ingraham Angle, and during the discussion, Bevelyn did not hold back. She says, in quotes, "If you want to look at the devices of the devil, you have to look at the Democratic Party. He uses who he may, and unfortunately, it's the Democratic Party. The left is so radical. They want you to ban the police. They just want Trump to give up his authorities and then just let them run and turn our country into a communist country. Why in your right mind would you defund the police?" Since that time, Bevelyn has preached and protested for pro-life causes and in support of Republicans across the U.S. In July of 2020, Bevelyn Williams and several others were arrested after they painted over the Black Lives Matter street protest art in New York City in front of the Trump Tower with black paint. In November of 2020, Bevelyn was stabbed by Antifa thugs in Washington, D.C., while protesting against the stolen 2020 election. Pro-Trump activist Bevelyn Beatty and multiple Proud Boys were stabbed in D.C. while attempting to help another person who was being assaulted. Proud Boys founder Enrique Terrio told the Gateway Pundit that he was slashed in the stomach, Beatty was stabbed in the back, and multiple other members of the men's social group were stabbed and are now hospitalized with serious wounds. A law enforcement confirmed to TGP that the group was walking down the street away from the protest when they saw an older man being stabbed and intervened. On Wednesday, Williams was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison. Bevelin blocked the doors temporarily at an abortion clinic. She committed the same act Democrats commit almost weekly at government offices across the country.
Yeah, that's Merrick Garland is so biased, Bill. He is so biased again. And to come out and say right on the news, to look right in the camera and lie like he did, unbelievable. Now, you know a little bit about communism because you have Newberry Printing, and it's a good time to give yourself a good plug here. You run the print shop at 12424 Kinsman Road, Route 87, right at the corner of 87 and Route 44 here in Newberry, Ohio. You do newsletters, brochures, envelopes, business cards, invoices, labels, and more. Now, here's the thing. Just on the other side of the wall, you have a 6-inch wall there. You have the Communist Party headquarters. In your and they're endorsing every unclean thing. Everything that they stand for, God's Word, the Bible calls unclean. Everything, okay? And we've gone out there. And doers of the word, Baptist Church, the activist church, doers of the word, who are doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving themselves. We've been out there and we've protested that wicked, ungodly Communist Party headquarters. But you're there every day next to them, and right in this, your windows. And I know who provided you some nice signs in the windows about you got a big Trump sign in your window. In fact, and then you have the poster you have where it says abortion is not health care, it's genocide. And you have that picture of the baby that says the Democrats didn't get me. Then you have some gospel signs. You are a real thorn in the devil's flesh. You're a thorn in the devil's flesh there. But you're doing more than that. Here's what you're doing. You're letting other people to feel the way you do but don't have the courage. They don't have the courage to take the stand that you're doing. And I've talked to some of those people. They believe the way you do, but they don't want to stand up against this darkness, this evil they call it the Democratic Communist Party.
Right, right.
So tell us what it's like being next to them.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned others that you've talked with that, and I've through God's grace I've got this opportunity to be a light. His Spirit has given me strength and I boldness. It's through the Holy Spirit that any of this stuff can be done. Obviously, it's a spiritual battle, and you know, we pray against the things that take place there and throughout Geauga County as far as evil goes. But it's the Spirit is then, you know, it's fleshed out where we're at, and if a sign can get someone's attention and show light, then it's worth whatever pushback that we're getting from the opposition. And there's quite a bit of pushback. I get the finger a lot. I've had someone vomit in the parking stall where my customers park on purpose. And thank goodness for video cameras because I can see, you know, what's taking place after hours. And there's some other things, but it's mild when you compare, when you think about getting the truth out there, you know, abortion is the murder of a baby. And it's sickening to think how long it's been going on. I mean, I know it's been going on for, you know, ages and ages, but the approval, the government stamp of approval on it, that's got to come to an end.
Well, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34, God uses, he's speaking to Israel, but he's using the type of a unclean woman, who's an unclean woman who, like you see, these women on The View, and, you know, these women that would vote for Kamala. And he tells them that their skirts are filled with the blood of innocence, and that he didn't even have to look upon their heart. By their own mouth, they convicted themselves. But their response to him is, we've done nothing wrong because we were allowed to do the wicked things we did. We were allowed to do that. It was legal. In other words, it's like, and God tells him, that doesn't cut it, you know. Yeah. You're going to, because what the Bible teaches and what these people don't realize, these women that kill their babies, God says what you've done that, when you've transgressed God's dominion, when you've done that, okay, and you find that in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7, the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve the image of God, that being man. Three times now, by the time from Genesis 1 to 9, he tells you to be fruitful and multiply. And therein where you get the statute of the death penalty, okay? And so it tells you that not only when you kill your baby, not only do you deserve to die, but you deserve to burn in hell, okay? And it's like, oh, well, that's not what we want to believe. We believe whatever you want to believe. I'm telling you what God said, and guess what? At the end of the day, guess who's going to get his way, right?
Right.
See, the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, the Democratic Communist Party, all the woke people, all those unclean women, they're going to be standing before God in the judgment. He's not going to be standing before them, okay?
Right.
And it seems like they just don't get that, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and right now there's a time of grace. And, you know, most of us know someone who's had an abortion. And sometimes they're cold-hearted about it. Others are remorseful about it, and they. But it, you know, it. You have the ability to change your mind. It's okay to change your mind, or, as the scriptures say, repent. Change your thinking on it. You know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As you talked earlier, no one can keep the law. It's such a high standard. It points out our problems. It points out our sin. So turn to God. Jesus Christ forgives all of our sins. And
here's the point, what you just made. Before you can have forgiveness, there has to be repentance. Okay. See, and this is what the people are missing.
Right.
It's got to be for real. It's right. Got to be for real. See, God knows if you mean it or not. God right. knows that. And if there's no repentance, there is no forgiveness, okay?
Exactly.
But it's like, well, this is not what our church teaches. It doesn't matter what your church teaches. It's what the Word of God teaches. You see, at the end of the day, that's all that counts, right?
Right.
And that's what we've been trying to get across to these people for years and years. So,
yeah.
So now, when you're there... I mean, and they're there during the day. Do you often have people, anybody ever come into your shop to complain? Or?
Yeah, I've had, I can go into the details, but yeah, there's pushback from them. You know, people don't want to do business with people that talk about politics. But my position is, if you don't take a stand now, I don't see how... If this country goes socialist or communist, you're not going to have a stand to take in the future. You won't be able to speak. So speak up now. If you're lacking boldness, ask the Lord to give you that boldness. He did for me. And I was pretty comfortable just getting along with everybody. You know, it's kind of a nice, warm, cozy feeling. But... at some point, you have to stand up, and the exhilaration of doing that, of acting and standing up for the truth, is much better than that comfort, that warm, that milk-warm feeling you get of getting along with everybody. It's not that I'm out to not get along with people. I'm out to do the Lord's will in my life. That's what I want more than anything else. And if it means... running this business next door to the communist and putting signs up in the window or showing love to someone who's given me the finger, you know, so be it. That's that. It's trying to do the Lord's will in my life, and I would encourage others anywhere that have turned to the Lord that want to grow in Him, to continue to read the scriptures and seek His will and ask for His will to be done in your life daily.
Let's just say that you decided one day, okay, you know, I'm tired of these people coming and giving me the fingers, and I'm just going to take the signs out of my window and try to get along with them. James 4:17 says this, For those that know to do good and to do it not, to them it is sin. So that would be, you would be sinning. You would be grievous, a very grievous sin to do that. And so,
and the cowardly are not, that's not an acceptable position to have, being a coward. So,
no, the fearful. In fact, let me tell you, everywhere in the Bible, when you find fearful, you, let me just take you to show you what it says over in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. He tells you, but the fearful and the unbelieving, wherever you find the fearful, you find the unbelieving. Wherever you find the unbelieving, you find the fearful. And the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. You know, I just read you the platform of the Democratic Communist Party. I just read you the platform of those people next door.
Yeah.
Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'm going to be preaching on hell, Lord's willing, this Sunday, because, again, more and more they're of the apostates are promoting this heresy out there today that there is no hell, that everyone gets saved, everyone's saved. This is a heresy right from the pit of hell, okay, being preached by heretics. And these are cultist people. And so, unfortunately, the Pope had said that he didn't believe that there was a hell, okay. And so, of course, he goes back and forth on what he says. But he will, huh? All righty. Black Fork Strategies. Well, before you do that, give yourself a good commercial. Tell them about your business because, folks, this is the kind of guy, these are the kind of businesses you want to support. You want to support. Here he is standing, taking a stand right up against Communist Party headquarters. And he's the kind of guy you want to support with your business for printing, newsletters, brochures, envelopes, business cards, invoices. And I know your prices are very reasonable, too.
Yeah, we try to make ends meet on our end and then help our customers to make ends meet with the crazy inflation and paper prices are going up, card stock prices are going up.
So. Everything. But you've always been right on time with us, okay? And yeah, another one is Middlefield Signs.
Yeah, Jacob over there.
Yeah, Jacob Lachitz. Now, his dad, you know, was with me.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years ago, in the Right to Life movement came out, and he went home to be with the Lord. But Jacob Lachitz, the Middlefield Sign Company, they're like you. They take a strong stand. In fact, they donated, help us put together the Right to Life booth that we had at the fair. And this was our best year ever at the fair, as far as we've talked to more people. And getting the pro-life message out. But here's the thing. I was just amazed at how many people came to me and said, can you believe how the wicked people could be, how wicked people could be to offer free baby kills for the Communist Party convention? They were offering, killing babies right there. These people, this is Moloch, Kamalik, okay? This is ungodly, just as unclean. The Bible calls them, you know, wicked. And the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And Proverbs 6, verse 17, says that God hates a proud look. God hates lying lips and hands that shed innocent blood. And that is exactly Kamalik Harris, that is her. If you looked at her last night, that during that debate, that snickering, proud look that she had, she's a very wicked, unclean woman, okay? And, you know, I just wish we had pastors that had the guts like Paul and Peter and those, but especially like Jesus in Matthew 23, where he's just really let loose on them, okay, and preached out hard against sin the way they should. Anyhow, here, Black Force Strategies, an Ohio organization whose mission, as stated, is their website, is building long-term progressive, meaning communist, power. Out of their initiative includes voter registration canvassing. What that really means is election fraud, where they pay canvassers to register voters in Ohio, and they may have recently been caught with their hand in the proverbial cookie jar. On July 9th, at the Hamilton County Monthly Board of Elections meeting, members of the board discussed that what may be fraudulent voter registration submitted by Black Fork. If there's a way to cheat, the Democrats will find it. They're familiar with every single way you can cheat. According to the findings, the Black Fork canvasser had changed the addresses of Hamilton County registered voters without their authorization or their knowledge. It goes on to say, and when those voters got a notice, the Hamilton County Board of Elections, they thought that we were changing their voter information, and when it was a phony canvasser that changed it, Alex Trataflu, board member of the Board of Elections in Hamilton County, said, all right, we're coming up to a break. And, boy, we have a lot of stuff to cover here. But we just may open the phone lines early tonight, take some calls. People are still very interested in that debate. And, I've got to make an announcement. I had earlier said that for our listeners there in San Diego, that they're in kind of very serious danger of going off the air, wow, of having to cancel that station. Hmm. But I just wanted to say, folks, it's not just San Diego. San Diego would probably be the first. But right now, I've got to tell you, too, that we have two other stations that are very close behind. One is Chicago. One is Chicago, and Chicago is a very large station. And, of course, we hate to lose any state. We don't want to lose any of them. People keep begging me, Pastor, please don't go off. It's not because we want to go off. We don't want to go off. We want to stay on. But also, unfortunately, our station out there in Dallas. And so our Dallas station, Chicago and San Diego. But we'll talk more about that next week. So right now, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, I think what we should do is open the phone lines. No, we got a clip to play first, and then we'll open the phone line. Okay, be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.